Hi, everyone. Welcome back to my podcast series. Welcome to the Winner's Circle. This evening, I will be chatting with Fiona. And this episode is one of the episodes of the Black Women Self-Care mini-series. So, hi, Fiona. Good evening.
Hey, Tamika. Thanks for having me.
Yes, thank you for being here. So really quickly, I think if you guys remember Fiona, she was on a past episode a couple months ago, not that long ago, actually. I feel like it was like November or something. I don't know. It wasn't too long ago. And we spoke about like mental health. And so she's back again. And this time we're talking about mental health overall, and how that ties into self-care for us as Black women and, just how that connects with our emotional health and like our emotional intelligence. So, Fiona, do you want to chat a little bit about you, who you are, for anyone who may have not listened to the other episode or don't know who you are?
Yeah, sure. Hi, everybody. My name is Fiona Harvey. I'm a native New Yorker, and I am a public health and wellness professional. I have worked in the mental health field, nutrition, diabetes, you name it. I'm all about wellness, and what really matters to me is human connection. Mm-hmm. I believe that everybody has a story, and I'm really excited to be on this platform and share a bit about my insights and my journey. So thanks again, Tamika, for having me.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you. All right, so we can get into it. I feel like, you know, as Black women, we haven't really had too many spaces for self-care, you know, like any, you know, in any kind of capacity. As of recently, though, I do feel like there has been, I'll say, like a spike in the conversation about it, especially when it comes to like mental health and like emotional intelligence and all of that, and like having the facilities to support that, or having like the groups, the support groups for those kind of things. I think for me, when I understand mental health and self-care, I see it as really being aware of like your feelings and your emotions, and how to pinpoint, you know, when you're overwhelmed, what's a healthy way to feel overwhelmed and what's not so much of a healthy way to feel overwhelmed, if that makes any sense. Like what, when you're able to kind of determine like when is the point you may need like intervention, or you may need like outside help to deal with it in a healthy way. So that's kind of like how I see like mental health tying into like emotional intelligence. Yeah. That kind of basically ties into like your self-care as a woman, and then how you function, you know, all that kind of affects how you function and how you show up for yourself, how you show up for people, and how you perform like every day.
Yes.
I also see like mental health in the terms of self-care as like finding like your tribe. You know, everybody says like your vibe, your tribe, like mm-hmm. everyone's got like a close knit group of friends or sister girlfriends or like sisters, you know, those kind of that kind of group that you can kind of go to when you need to like recharge, recharge within a community. You have like those spaces that you can be in. You can have like those intimate conversations that you can't talk about with anyone else, or you feel like it's a safe space to share ideas or like your vulnerabilities. How do you feel about those things? What are your opinions on it?
Yeah, I actually did an event this past weekend. I was a guest speaker, and it was on mental health and self-care. So it's great that we're talking about this today.
Oh, just in time.
yeah. I was invited, and I said, sure, I was able to do it. And the analogy that I always use is the hats. How many hats do you wear? Mm-hmm. So every day we show up in society. I'm Fiona, you're Tamika. But there's more behind that. You're someone's daughter. You're a friend. You're a sister. You're someone's mom. I am an educator, a manager. I'm somebody's friend. I'm an aunt.
Yeah.
All these different hats that we wear. And we wear them with pride, right? But sometimes it can just get overwhelming.
Yeah.
It can be a lot. And especially with the pandemic that we're still going through,
mm-hmm.
we can feel a weight on our shoulders. So I always think it's important to just take a step back and literally ask yourself, well, what did I do for myself today?
Right.
Did I drink enough water? How am I really feeling? Because we're always on the go. You know, Tamika and I, we talk, and especially being here in New York, we're always coming from dinner, going to this appointment, rushing to the train.
New York, I always say New York is always about the hustle.
Yeah, exactly. It really is. It really is. And it can get very tiring. So when you just take that moment to pause, literally pause and breathe, which is a program that I run. Tamika knows about it. It's mindfulness for young people. Just to take a second and check in and just be honest. Am I overwhelmed? Am I tired?
Right.
Do I need a nap? Do I maybe just need to be by myself for a little bit?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, that I feel that too. Like that nap one is big for me. I'm always like, all right, I have an issue right now. Let me go take a nap and get back to it. Like some people are like, oh, that's just like a scapegoat. But I honestly see it as like, this is one of the solutions to this problem right now. Because when I wake up, I'll probably most likely 9 times out of 10 wake up feeling more refreshed. My mind is clearer. Or sometimes I wake up with an actual solution. Because, you know, when you sleep, you get downloads when you're sleeping. You know, spirit gives you downloads when you're sleeping. When you wake up, like that first moment when you wake up, that's such a sensitive space to be in. And that's where you also receive a lot of downloads as well. So not to get too woo-woo on this, but yeah, that also is like when you take a nap sometimes and you are feeling overwhelmed or you have a stressor, it really is part it's like the first step in solving the solution. It's not just like sleeping it away. It's not really ignoring it or, you know, being negligent or not taking care of your responsibilities. Sometimes that is really the first step. That nap thing is very important.
Yes, it's funny. My therapist said, well, you just have to pay attention. Are you using the nap to just escape the problem or you just feel like you really do need the rest?
Right.
And if you really do need the rest, then go ahead. But if you can get a little chip away a little bit at the problem, just try your best.
Yeah.
It's interesting to see the differences, and especially as Black women, we're always on the go. We're looking out for so many other people.
Mm-hmm.
Take your rest, because if you don't, life will make time for you to do it.
Right.
Whether that's your different health conditions, stress, you'll feel like you really, or God forbid, in the hospital.
Yeah. Yeah. Some people do. People go to the hospital for exhaustion. You know, they just overwork themselves. I was going to say, what do you feel like are some healthy ways to deal with when your plate is too full? Like, say your plate's too full. What do you think are some healthy ways to deal with it? I know people always talk about like boundaries, enforce boundaries, but I feel like people never really talk about like how to enforce the boundaries. You know what I mean? Like, it's so easy to say, like, make a new boundary. But then you make the new boundary, but how do you actually like take action to enforce that boundary? Like, what are your thoughts on that and like healthy ways to deal with being like overwhelmed?
Yeah, I would say figuring out what your communication style is.
That's a good one.
When you feel overwhelmed, would you prefer to send your friend an email, send them a text, call them, or designating different times and letting them know, hey, I did get your message. Just being transparent.
Right.
We touch base on Thursday. And another good way to set boundaries is that we don't always have to be so reactionary. Just because maybe your phone call is coming in or the email pops up, you feel like you got to respond to it right away, take a moment, finish your other task, and get back to the person, you know, when you can. And just being transparent that you prefer this method of communication or this time will work. You may come up to a conclusion with your partner or a friend or family member.
Right.
Hey, you know, Thursday evenings are usually the best time for me to catch up. Can we do that? Or when works for you?
Right.
And that has helped people, because sometimes this plate is just too full.
Mm-hmm.
You are overwhelmed, but you are a human being. and you just need to take a step back.
Definitely. I was gonna say, I had shared it in the texting community that time too, like really putting you on your calendar. Like people will say, like, you know, take a step back, make time for yourself, like that kind of thing, but nobody really tells you how to do it. And so I had heard a piece of advice where it was like, put yourself on your calendar, like how you put any other appointment on your calendar, put you on your calendar, but really stand by it and don't reschedule. You know, some people may feel like, oh, it's just myself. You talk yourself out of it. You feel like you can be flexible to reschedule, like, because it's just you. But treating it as like a real appointment and not rescheduling, that kind of thing, can really help you get into like that practice of that self-care, like in a mental capacity, in that kind of mental way. And I say, like, I've started that, I want to say, the past couple of weeks, actually, because I heard this not too long ago. And for me, that's really worked for me, is like really looking at my time as like a calendar item, just as if I would have like an interview, just as if I would have a doctor's appointment. And even if I'm just sitting at home, but it's still my time on the calendar. So I can be at home and the phone will ring, or somebody will be texting, or, you know, somebody will text me like, oh, can we do something right now? And I'm like, oh, this is my time. Like in the past, it would be like, this is my time, but you know what? I can get back to it later. Let me go help somebody else. But now it's like, well, you know what? This is my calendar time. So, you know, I think when we see it like as quote unquote important, like we really see it as important, kind of, it puts a different like emphasis on it. And we're more like, we will stick to it more versus if it's just a laid back thing. Like, I just made time for myself, like be more negotiable when it comes to that. But I feel like when it's something like solid, and like you see it and you treat it like anything else that you've got going on, any kind of booking appointment, you will take it a little bit more seriously. Well, I find that works for me. That's been working for me for the past couple of weeks. And so that's just been my experience with it. But yeah, I feel like that's one way as well.
Yes, I appreciate your texting community. I remember that one.
Oh, yeah.
it's similar to what I tell people too. I would say set an alarm.
For
yourself, even if you have to wake up a bit earlier than everybody else in the house, and you take that moment to have your tea and journal, or maybe you're going to do stretches for 5 minutes, whatever it is. As I was sharing with the group on Sunday, it doesn't have to be a huge production. You don't have to book a full out spa day. It can be something so simple.
Right.
But it's intentional. It's just for you, and you'll feel the difference each day. Right. So for some people, it looks like setting that alarm, making your favorite tea, doing some stretches, journaling how you feel, a brain dump, getting everything out on the paper.
Yeah.
For other people, it may look like just taking a break to go for a walk when you can, and think about what you want life to look like. But it's very much intentional, and it can be as little as 10 minutes a day.
Right.
Start small. And I love what you said. It's not negotiable. It's non-negotiable. You are a priority.
Yeah.
And the way that you treat yourself, it sets the tone for other people and your relationships.
Yeah.
Make yourself a priority.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I've had to learn that too when it comes to other people and like their availabilities. I've had to step back and say like, okay, I do my availabilities this way. Like I calendar myself this way. And that's a non-negotiable for me when it comes to my time. Other people do it differently, like how you were just saying, and realizing that the way I approach may not work for them. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's the other good thing too, is like acknowledging that everyone's got a different style of doing it. And it comes off differently to different people. But I think, you know, meaning like it's received differently. But I think that's an important aspect to realize when it comes to this as well. It doesn't have to look the same for everyone, but it should definitely be yours, something for you. Yeah, I was gonna say too. One of the other things too about this is like, you know, when you enforce the boundaries, sometimes you have the people who aren't used to you making boundaries, and so they push, or sometimes intentionally, or sometimes they don't even realize they're doing it. But, you know, like paying attention to like, just what does your body feel like at that point? Like when they're pushing, like, do you like have a headache? Do you get anxious? Do you get tense? I know for me, like I've had a few experiences where like somebody was not used to like a new boundary that I created, and with them nudging and pushing, I found myself getting like anxious or just irritable. You know, and it's like, okay, like, so it does affect like your mood and like that kind of thing. So I think like in terms of self-care as well, like paying attention to those like bodily responses, yeah. I think that's also really important too for us, you know.
Totally important.
Yeah.
And just knowing your body, knowing yourself, and like you said, just paying attention, because that makes a difference. Yeah. Huge difference. Just saying, okay, I just need a break. And one of my major influence in my life, shared it. She always says, "We're not human doings.
Mm-hmm.
We're human beings."
Right.
Sometimes we just have to be, Tamika.
Yeah.
Just be in the space. Just showing up. So many of us have been through so many ups and downs, and still throughout this pandemic, so much loss. You know, the grief. So many transitions. So just be. That is enough. Show up how you can and tap into your mental health. Right now, more than ever, there's so many resources.
Mm-hmm.
NYC Well, I referred it to a friend just a few weeks ago.
Right.
And she prefers to text. They have a chat line.
Nice.
She was able to text, talk to a mental health professional. She was linked to an organization to get a therapist, and it's free of charge. And so just taking those steps when you can, it looks different. Some people prefer to speak on the phone.
Right.
Some people prefer to do the online chat platform.
Right.
Know what works for you, but just be and just listen.
Right.
Yeah,
I agree. Yeah, that definitely has been therapy. I think in general, therapy in the Black community has been a huge conversation as of lately. But I think a lot now that Black women are really focusing on like having a quote unquote soft life, or having like a life of luxury, or like the finest things. Yeah. It's even more of a conversation now among Black women, like getting therapy, and specifically having like Black female therapists that they can talk to, because they can relate, not only because of Black culture, but like with that gender dynamic as well.
Yes.
So I think that's a big thing now. And I think that's important for us because we have so many hats. And I was talking to somebody else on a recent episode about like, you know, even if you are married and you have a husband, the school's still going to call you first because you're mom. Right.
Uh-huh.
So it's, you know, and even if that husband does play his part and do his role and that kind of thing.
Right.
Just because you're mom, that's one of the hats you have. Automatically, you're getting so many things just because of that one title that you have, that one hat that you wear. And right. So I think if you have like a female therapist, they can most likely relate in some areas when it comes to that, or just an, you know, just other female kind of experiences. Yep. And then adding to the fact that they're Black, they can, the overall Black experience that we go through, you can definitely talk and feel comfortable talking about it. You won't feel like you have to be on eggshells and mm-hmm. am I saying the right thing? Like, you know, are they going to look at me like I'm crazy because they don't know what I'm talking about? Like,
right.
Those kind of things. So I think for us as Black women, like that's an important factor too, like when it comes to like mental health and like, you know, going to therapy, and even like down to the small things, you know. I was reading a book, but like just thinking about it, you know, if you show up with your headscarf on, you're not going to be judged, because every Black woman knows what this is.
going to say that, Tamika.
Yeah.
I will wear my headscarf to my therapy session sometimes. because usually they're earlier in the mornings and you know, get dressed, but
my hair's black not- hair is a to-do, okay?
Yeah, thank you. Exactly. You know how it can be. It could go anywhere from 5 minutes to 30, depending on the style. So I'll be dressed, but I'll still have my head wrap on and my therapist, she knows what it is, and we're there chit-chatting. I don't feel funny. I don't feel ostracized or any judgment.
Right.
So that's always, that's so important.
Right. And you without that judgment, they are going to listen to what you say versus if it was, you know, somebody, even if it was somebody else. Yeah. A non-black person. They're probably looking like, I'm not going to really take what she's saying seriously. She didn't come dressed right, you know, because it's not part of their culture in a sense, or what they're used to, or what they're, the communities that they're around. Yeah, I think also, too, in terms of, like, mental health and self-care, with this conversation in our community, we're seeing a lot more of the actual spaces to hold these things. Now there are, you know, you'll go to a clinic and there's, like, a space for a mental health pocket that you can, you know, do whatever you want to do or sign up to see someone or talk to someone, or, like, you're just noticing more around that. And I think that's super important. And then even now it becoming something like part of your health insurance, so that it's not a resource, but it's a resource that everybody, that equity piece that everybody can have access to. Whereas, you know, back in the day, if you heard about therapy, you had to have, like, a ton of money to get a therapist. Right. Whereas now, like, even how you just mentioned, like, it's free resources for this because it's something that, you know, it's that equity piece in the health insurance. And I think that plays a huge role now.
Absolutely.
And it's something that, like, I've seen a difference in terms of health insurance, just, like, being an observer, like, going to different places and just seeing it. And I think that also is a result of just more articles about this, people talking about this and that kind of thing. So yeah, and I also feel like too, like with a black therapist as well, like they wouldn't be so quick to write you a prescription because they're understanding. They'll kind of have more of that like holistic approach of really getting to hear like what your issue may be versus saying like, oh, it's this and let me just prescribe you this and this may help you with like this mood or something like that, you know?
Yes, they look for the underlying factors.
Yeah. And so what do you think about in terms of like, you know, your tribe, like your sister girlfriends or like your sisters, like your close-knit circles, like how do you see that as like a mental health, but like as a form of self-care?
Yeah, absolutely. Just being able to check in with one another and just being transparent. Like in one of my groups, we're talking about adulting can be hard. We're just navigating. Like, this is real.
Yeah.
What's going on? We're fully adults and there's a lot of ups and downs. And that support, I think, to realize, okay, there are other people who are going through it. My girlfriends are either going through it now or they have gone through similar experiences and can be a sense of a source of encouragement.
Right, right.
No man is an island. You know, Maya Angelou says we can't make it out here alone. So I'm very grateful for those sister friends that I have. And you realize that the more you can communicate, it helps. And sometimes you're just silent.
Right. But
the check-ins, just say, hey, how have you really been feeling?
Right.
Sometimes it's all a person needs. How have things been going? And it's definitely helpful. And then just knowing that support is there, it can be comforting as well.
Yeah, just knowing you have a fallback if you feel a certain way. Right. I think that's what it was too, a lot in terms of like black women for us over time. We didn't feel like we had a fallback. So because we didn't feel like we had a fallback or someone to kind of catch us in a sense, we overworked ourselves. We were just always on the go, always staying busy, always doing this, always doing that, always being the giver, not receiving, you know, leaving that space to receive so that we can rest or, you know, those kind of things. So I think that that's true too. Like knowing that you have somewhere you can fall back, like it doesn't have to be a whole community, but just a small community of like a handful of people that you really trust that you can fall back on. And, you know, they'll really like have your back or just be there for you. If you just, like you said, even if you just go to be silent, like that's okay.
Yeah. So. Yes. Yes. And I think about the mental health piece, the conversation is coming up even more.
Yeah.
A lot of my friends have therapists as well. I know that when you look in society, you see that mental health is being discussed even more. So with even with young people, and mm-hmm. there's programming.
Yeah.
Whether you're at community centers, the library, nonprofits.
Yeah.
So like right
it's
now
it's becoming part of the curriculum. Yeah.
Absolutely. Like right now we're running our Pause and Breathe series talking to young people, to the youth, about really pertinent topics.
Yeah.
Like mindfulness and the benefits of meditation, deep breathing, how to channel your anger, and how to make self-care for youth. And these conversations are happening younger. The students will share it with their families, and it becomes a cycle. And I think that's really special, where many times it's taboo.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 15 years ago, oh, you have a therapist? 15, 20 years ago, what? That's only for these people.
Right.
Now groups of friends, your sisterhood can talk about it. Also, the youth are talking about therapy, about mental health,
right.
mindfulness, meditation. It's becoming a normal conversation. I think that is really special.
Yeah, definitely. And it's definitely something that wasn't in the curriculum when I was in high school. And it definitely wasn't something that was in the curriculum when our moms, our aunts, our grandmothers, when they were in school or, you know, their young adult lives, like it wasn't in any of their curriculums. And so they never were kind of, in a sense, trained or programmed mm-hmm. to talk about these things or to know that it's okay to talk about, you know, really to talk about your feelings and to dig deep in some things or to really like take a break and rest and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, I think they did the best they could with what they had, you know what I'm saying? Like what the times gave them. But I do feel like too, like it was a lack of resources as well. Just, you know, that was by design as well. But I do think that lack of resources definitely played a huge role in that.
Because with our history, it's work and keep going. No time to feel, no time to really cry.
Right.
No, just keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going.
Right.
But we are not horses. We are human beings.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Okay. And so I know another piece that I had thought of earlier too, just kind of thinking about this a little bit more. When it in relation to like your tribe and like your sisterhood, also I feel like it ties into like your environment, like your self-care, like as your environment, when it comes to your mental, like how do you set up your home, how often do you clean it so you can feel comfortable in it, so it can be like a peaceful place with a peaceful energy. And a lot of the times I feel like it's like as Black women, as wives, daughters, who whatever hat we're wearing, we're constantly cleaning the house. We're always cleaning, right? And it was to the point where like that's all we were told to do. That's all we could do as women. But now I feel like, you know, with that, there is a sense of like I don't know how to describe it, but it's almost like there's a new kind of cleaning that's happening. Like you want to be in your home. You want to clean it. You want to make it comfortable. You want to have a good energy in your home. Like it's very intentional what we're cleaning now. I feel like in the past it was like we were doing it because we were working for a white family, we were doing it because we were slaves, we were doing it because, you know, we were given chores as kids and we were raised that way, which is fine, you know, having it as a chore,
right?
And, you know, being taught that. But I feel like now it's kind of switched in a way to where like it's almost like an act of relaxing to kind of clean and really tidy up your space so you have like the best energy in there. And so I think like when you tie that into like your self-care, on the other side, when you finish cleaning, you can sit back and really enjoy like everything that you've kind of put together in your space. So I think like the environment piece is important too for like self-care and when it does come to like your mental health, you know, as self-care as well.
Some people, oh, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, sorry. And then I was going to say, like, as a place that you can come back to, like when you've had a long day at work or you've been out all day with friends, just out and about, you know, in the world, or you've just been around family all day long, like it's a place that you can come back to that you know is prepared for you to really like let your guard down a little bit and like just relax. So I think I also see that as like your environment as your self-care too in that regard.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of times our home can reflect our mental state.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes if you're having a great day and you're in a good mental space, your place may be tidy, everything organized. And that could be another form too. It could be anxiety, depends on the person. And for some people, if you're going through depression, your place may not be the cleanest, with things everywhere, because what you're going through mentally inside, it may feel a bit chaotic. You may feel really overwhelmed.
Right.
And so it's represented in the way your space looks. Things may be everywhere. But little by little, you just start with sections. You'll notice that you do feel better.
Yeah.
But for those who may be struggling, you can call on a friend, or you can focus on one room at a time and set a timer and just make a little time to organize, and then congratulate yourself for that. Put it as accomplishments, because I know there are going to be listeners who have experienced that too.
Yeah.
Where things are tough.
Yeah. That happens to me.
Yeah.
That has definitely happened to me. Not all the time, but it's happened enough where I remember one time I came home, I was like, whoa, this place is a mess. You know, so it definitely is something that I had to chip away at it because it was a mess. And I was like, okay, I know I can't do all this tonight, but it was definitely something I had to chip away at. But when I was done, you know, finally getting it done, I said, wow, I feel so much better.
So much better.
Yeah.
So just I tell folks to pay attention to that too. Just give yourself some grace. And like you said, Tamika, just chip away at it little by little.
Yeah. Okay. So
there are a lot of people who are listening who I know it may be difficult. I know several people who have mental health conditions, autoimmune diseases, and mm-hmm. your spoons of the day. So just making it out of bed, being able to brush your teeth and get dressed, you know, you take a shower before that. That takes energy. That takes time.
Yeah.
Being able to make a meal, it takes a lot of mental space. So giving yourself credit along the way
is
definitely important to do.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Do you have anything else in terms of like mental health and self-care? I feel like that's kind of how I feel about it, especially when it comes to like us as is that Joey?
Joe, we're on a podcast. You got to be in your good behavior. Yeah, that's Joe. He heard something. I actually have Joe. He's an emotional support animal for me.
Nice.
With my grief journey, he brings a lot of joy to my life. That's my Havanese dog. So I tell people there are different ways to cope with mental health. It could be therapy. It could be an emotional support animal. It could be joining a support group. If you're not ready to take the full leap in therapy, there are support groups that you can join. Just taking a step and looking at what's online. Some great resources, NYC Well, Talkspace, BetterHelp, even your local library, they may have mm-hmm. programs on mental health.
Yeah.
And just tapping in. I was talking to a friend the other day. I said, just set a date, set a time, and just say, okay, I'm going to make this my therapy search time.
Mm-hmm.
And they're looking for a therapist. They found one. I'm so happy for them. Yeah. He found one. And I said, it's difficult sometimes to just take that step to make the call, to Google it.
Right.
It can be very daunting. So just make an appointment. Like we talked about earlier, and then just go for it. And yeah. Give yourself credit. I just want to tell everybody, give yourself credit. These times are not normal. And you just have to keep giving yourself a little bit of grace. Saying, I'm doing the best that I can. I'm making it through the day, and that's enough.
Right. Yeah, no, definitely. Always, like, one day at a time. Yeah. I've learned that works for me. Like, sure, you want to plan as much as you can and all that kind of stuff. But sometimes it really is just, like, one day at a time. Because if you look at the long road, sometimes it will feel like such a drag and you'll get discouraged. Yeah. But yeah. I think, like, if you just look at it really as, like, one day at a time, I'm doing this one day, I finished this, I didn't finish that, but I can do it tomorrow kind of thing. I think it makes the journey a little easier and it's more rewarding because you're learning a lot more along the way, I feel like, too. And you're able to experience it a lot more. Like, you're able to experience the journey, whatever it is you're working towards. You're able to really feel it and experience it and learn from it. So, yeah, I feel like the same way. Like, it's always kind of like, you know, one day at a time.
Yeah. And yeah. Sometimes I say to people, 1 hour at a time.
Oh, yeah. That's a big one for me. When I have a really busy day, yeah. I have to break it down in hours.
You got to.
I have to. Because if I look at, like, an entire day and try to do that, like, projection from start to finish, I won't even start because I'll be like, oh my God, it's too much to do. But if you're absolutely right, like if I do it like 1 hour at a time, then I'm like, okay, this hour is done. Check. I've got another hour for this or for that or whatever. And right. So, yeah, it makes a huge difference.
And another thing I wanted to share is instead of a to-do list, label it your accomplishments list.
Oh yeah. That's a good one. I never heard of that.
Yeah. Your accomplishments of the day. So, oh, I got to do this. I got to do that.
Right.
It can feel like a weight on your shoulders. But if you label accomplishments, like, wow, okay, I got my taxes done today. I accomplished that.
Right.
I was able to go grocery shopping. I accomplished that. You write it down. And it gives you a sense of gratification.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's definitely, I'm going to try that. I never heard of that accomplishment list. But that definitely sounds like it's more attractive. It sounds like.
Yeah.
More, it sounds more energetic, like it's more full of life than like just to do, which sounds really boring.
Right.
So yeah, you definitely.
Like you're a student, like you're a kid. Oh, I gotta do this.
Mm-hmm. Like a chore. So, okay. Well, Fiona, I won't hold you too long. I know you have early mornings, but I do want to thank you for being on the episode and like chatting with me about this. And thank you for like, you know, just the conversation and. Your information that you contributed, and you know, I hope everyone who was listening, they got something from this, they got a takeaway. And do you want to just share your social media, your website, and anything upcoming that you have?
Sure. Yeah. So it's my pleasure to meet you. You're very welcome. Thank you all for listening. You can find me on Instagram, Fiona Harvey, like Steve Harvey. So it's Fiona Harvey _. And my website is FionaVey.com. And there's always something that I'm involved in. I just did a mental health talk. I'm sure there'll be more types of events or who knows. There's always something coming up. But feel free to connect with me. And yeah, I just look forward to that.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. All right, well, thank you, Fiona, and everyone. I hope you got something from this episode. Go ahead and check out her Instagram page and, you know, just really tap in and just, you know, even if it's just the follow, I think that's great because the content is everything about mental health. It's all about your emotional intelligence and your emotional health. And so I feel like you can never lose when you intake information about this all the time. Like you yes. can always just only win. So,
right.
So yeah, but thanks again, Fiona, and everyone. Have a good night. Thank you for listening. I hope you got something from this. And until next time, peace.
Take care.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.